Ulterior.
2025, y'all. We made it. Big 2025 at that. Which means that in a couple of weeks, it will be exactly 4 years since I was sitting in my room during an anomaly of a snowstorm over here in Texas. And I was just like, you know what? This whole like website and write-ups bullshit for Ulterior, it's not working. I don't have that passion for it. I don't feel like writing out these reviews. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to talk about them. I'm going to record podcast episodes, and whether one person or 100 people listen to it, I will put my best foot forward with this endeavor. And there have been times in the past where I feel like I've really been, you know, hitting my stride, and I've been like continuously active with these things, and I've been feeling it. And then sometimes where maybe I remove myself from that activity for one reason or another. And I say all that to say that right now, I am quite sick. I don't know if that can be relayed in my voice or the way that I sound, but I'm definitely feeling the effects of more cold weather here in San Antonio. And I really did not want to use that as an excuse to not get this episode out, because whether it was the songs series or the record series, I don't remember which one it was in December, but at the end of one of those series, I was just telling you guys, like, you know, I want to be more productive in 2025. I want to be regularly putting out these episodes. And if I use some illness that really doesn't affect me that much as an excuse to not put out an episode in the first week of the year, then I would be going back on my desires and my goals and what I laid out on that episode. And that is why we are here now, shot voice and all, sore throat and all, pause, congestion and all, and whatever else I could say to emphasize my sickness right now. None of that matters. What matters is the start of 2025 and the few weeks of music from December that I did not cover because of year-end stuff that I will be getting to now. This is going to be kind of maybe like a little bit of a condensed episode, but not really, because I'm going to be talking about 10 brand new singles by the likes of Novelist, Silent Planet, Landmarks, and a few others that have really excited me over these last few weeks. Thank you guys so much for tapping in. I really hope you guys enjoy this episode, and let's get 2025. You guys ever do that thing where like you can't really say the name of a year yet, like so quickly into it your mind goes to the previous year, so you're saying like an amalgamation of the two? Whatever, none of that matters. Welcome to Big 2025 for Ulterior. Thank you. So before I get into the reviews for the episode, I do want to make mention of something that was happening a couple days ago now on the timeline. And the reason why I feel like I maybe not need to bring it up, but I at least want to, is because of how vocal I have been on this show in supporting the State of the Seed and how they've been supportive of me. And then also the fact that I am a moderator in their Discord server and I'm friends with Sammy Marcos. So if you guys follow the Twitter for State of the Scene, then you'll see that they sometimes do post like new bands and new artists that people might not be aware of, and they gas it up saying like, oh shit, like new cool band alert, or like, I just discovered this great new band, like just something of that vernacular, something that's meant to, you know, spark up excitement for this project that maybe people had not heard of before. So they recently posted a clip of a song, and this is where like I'm really, really lost on the information for this little tidbit, because I didn't actually see the clip. I didn't hear the song. All I know is that people were quite harsh towards the clip and the way that the band sounded and the song, essentially just shitting all over that song. And it somehow went from, you know, people being critical of that song to being critical of the state of the scene, and just like some really weird like allegations thrown at them. And maybe allegation is a strong word given what that usually denotes in the scene, but it was kind of really what happened, because, you know, I did see some tweets calling them grifters, and then one tweet in particular saying that they were posers who were just looking at like Wikipedia articles for these bands. They don't actually love the music, or, you know, whatever it was that they were saying. Essentially, like, really doing their damnedest to denounce the, like, the credibility of the state of the scene and the passion that Sam and Marcos have for this kind of music. Something that I think people really, really don't understand, and I don't know why they wouldn't have this understanding to begin with. The state of the scene is not either of their full-time jobs. It's a hobby. It's something that, you know, yes, money is put into it through their Patreon, but they've outlined several times in the past that whatever money they make off of the show, it goes back into the show, whether that be the setup for their videos or, you know, recording equipment, like whatever it might be to enhance the overall viewer and listening experience. That is where the money goes. And it's not like tremendous money either. Like, I'm guessing people really think that, you know, these two guys are making bank off of talking about scene music. No, it's never been that way. And for the state of the scene to now be, what, like 11 years into what they do, there has to be this great and extensive level of passion for them to still be doing all this, you know, all these years later. And I did see a couple of bands like really come to the aid of the state of the scene and say that they've been able to help uplift them. You know, I saw Outline and Color do it, and Honey Revenge, just to name a few. And then, of course, you know, there were people who were also supportive of Sam and Marcos in this time. And then Sam and Marcos, and maybe more so Marcos, like, they really, really, you know, put in the effort to defend themselves. And I know Marcos sometimes comes across on Twitter as annoying to people and antagonistic. Definitely not as much as he used to, but I know it's a thing. But you know what, man? Like, you really do need to, like, stand up for yourself and fight sometimes. And this was definitely a scenario where I felt like it was very appropriate for the both of them to stand up for themselves, because a lot of these claims made about them were very baseless and in some ways did come across as, like, even bitter or jealous, you know, for whatever reason. And I want to close this part of the episode by just saying that without the inspiration of the state of the scene, Ulterior does not happen. I don't end up doing what I do or what I'm aspiring to do as a music reviewer. And it's not just the inspiration from the two of them, it's also their continued support, because look at their following and then look at mine. They do not need to, you know, shout out my stuff or be even kind to me on social media. Like, they really don't have to do any of that stuff, but they still do. And it relates to what other people have said about their projects, in that the state of the scene actively works to uplift every area of the scene as possible. And what they've been able to do for the scene over the last decade plus now, it's truly something that is remarkable and commendable. And I would venture to guess that anybody who has ever listened to the state of the scene, whether that be marginally or on a regular weekly basis, those people have discovered some of their favorite bands because of their podcasts. What they do means a lot to us, and for anybody to try to belittle that for any reason is counterintuitive and even detrimental to the outreach of this music scene online. And so now, having done that, I will move into the review aspect of this episode, and there are quite a number of singles for me to get through. The first of which that I want to shout out was my favorite song from the month of December, so much so that it is the number one song in Scenic Overlook, which means that it will be mentioned at the end of this year for the 100 Best Songs series of 2025. It is one of the brand new singles by Novelist called Coda. Novelist no funny shit, guys. The entire time that I've been away from this podcast after the year-end episodes for 2024, this was the single that I was most excited to talk about on this show and like send the message to you guys about what Coda means to me and how it makes me feel. What I will say is that Novelist is a band who I've been quite up and down with in the past. Like, when they had the 2020 album C'est La Vie, I obviously wasn't doing the show back then, but had I been active in Ulterior for C'est La Vie, you guys would have heard me gas up that record because I truly fucking love it. And then the album they had in 2022, I think it's called Deja Vu. I don't remember exactly off the top of my head right now, but I wasn't like really that integrated into it, I guess. I wasn't fucking with it like that, you know, especially not to the extent of C'est La Vie. But I've always looked at Novelist as a band that has like a world of potential at their fingertips, and all of the steps that they've taken so far with Camille Contreras as their vocalist have been stellar. And I truly think Coda is like the pinnacle of that, like the grand prize, I guess, of what they've been working towards. I fucking love Coda. I love the rhythm and the pacing of it, and especially in the chorus where Camille is like really able to like accentuate her voice and let herself be like the spotlight of the song. It's super fucking catchy. There is a part of the bridge that has this guitar work that reminds me a lot of Polyphia, like specifically on the like Renaissance record. Like, that will always be a style and a sound that is just like so fucking soothing and relaxing to my ears. And mixing that in with what Novelists have been doing, I think it was a recipe for Coda being just this absolutely fucking outstanding song that is like very well crafted, and it did its job in making me excited for what Novelists are going to have this year in 2025. And there was a second single that they had out at the same time called KO. Again, just an amazing song. Like, I was really, really fucking with Novelists in December of 2024, and I really believe that's going to be the trend throughout all of this year. And something else about Coda that I want to make mention of now, and not like in a like a standoffish way, but just, you know, at least like kind of speaking my mind on this and things like that. So there were some like YouTube reaction videos to Coda, and the titles and thumbnails for some of these videos, they were saying things like, this is Spearbox meets Paramore, or like Spearbox going pop, in reference to the way that Coda sounds. And what I'll say is, like, I understand it, you know, like using those kinds of like familiar band names and buzzwords in the title of a video, obviously that's going to get traction to the video, and it's probably like a good way to sell it, at least to like a new listener and a new viewer. But I also really think that boiling down what Novelists have been able to do, especially off of Coda, to Spearbox meets Paramore, it is a bit like, I don't want to say detrimental to Novelists, but it definitely, in my mind at least, undersells like what Novelists are actually achieving and how sensational of a vocalist Camille is. And, you know, we've seen this so many times when it comes to female-fronted bands. Like, Paramore will usually be the band that, like, gets shouted out for, like, a reference point, even if they sound nothing like Paramore. I understand what people are getting at with Novelists and Coda, you know, in terms of, like, making those references, but I still feel like they're quite unnecessary. And, you know, Novelists, they're not Spiritbox or Paramore or fucking Flyleaf, Evanescence, any other female-fronted band you can think of over the years. They are Novelists. They are a unique entity all to themselves, and Coda is the kind of song that I think is really going to make them stand out in that way this year. We have a brand new single out by Silent Planet. It is Mindframe. I feel like there was like some bit of divisiveness when it came to the the crowd reception to Mindframe. And I get it. It is quite a different song for Silent Planet. It's got like a bit more of an like an industrial metalcore type of a vibe going for it. And truthfully, I think that actually ended up suiting Silent Planet really, really well. I love the aggression of Mindframe, the kind of like dirty, like a grimy sort of sound that it exudes in a way. The chorus, I really, really love. I think Garrett, the way that he like kind of drags his voice along the grain of the instrumentation, it was this really cool like experimentation on the part of Silent Planet, because again, we don't really have another Silent Planet song that sounds anything like Mindframe, and that instantly made me like very interested in it. Even seeing people, you know, some, you know, have the Mindframe, no pun intended, of like, oh, this song sucks, and then some being like, oh, this song is great. That divisiveness was like really alluring to me. I wanted to hear Mindframe for myself to form my own opinion. And upon doing so, I was like, this song fucking rules. And I don't know if this is going to be like the definitive direction of Silent Planet throughout 2025, but if it is, I will say that it is a welcome adjustment on my end. Bloodywood. This is a band who has been making some waves lately. I don't believe I've spoken about them at length before on this show, but I'm going to right that wrong right now and talk about their new single, Bick Off, which features Baby Metal. So if any of you guys are unfamiliar with Bloodywood, they are an Indian metal band, and I've definitely, like, you know, listened to their stuff before, maybe not connected to it on, like, a real grandiose level, but they had a single back towards the end of 2024 called New Delhi that I was, like, really, really into, and it made me excited for what the band could do from there. And then Bick Off, which I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. If I'm butchering it in any way, I really do apologize. The Baby Metal feature, I thought like, okay, that's going to work out really, really well, because I felt like Bloodywood already had like a style and a vibe for them that would make it to where like that kind of a Baby Metal influence, it's already like tailor-made for Bloodywood because of the chaos that their music kind of orchestrates and that sort of stuff. Bick Off is fucking amazing, guys. I think like, you know, when you have like the heaviness and again, like that calamity of Bloodywood's style, and then you have the chorus where Sumetal is doing what she is already outstanding at and like helping elevate this song with her cleans. It was this formula that like had no way of failing whatsoever. Bloodywood and Baby Metal, like this is like the perfect, you know, marriage, the perfect combination for a song like Bick Off to like really ascend to that next level. And, you know, like I've been saying for other bands so far in this episode, I am very, 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 very interested and excited in where Bloodywood is going to go this year. Slowly are gearing up for a new record out soon, and they had another brand new single to accompany this rollout. It is How Are You Mine? If anybody might not be aware of that upcoming album, it is Forgiving Spree, releasing on January 24th, so about 2 weeks out from now, give or take. How Are You Mine is like quite easily my favorite of the singles so far for the record. I think it really like speaks so well to the like the vibrancy of Slowly and like that indie rock style that is heavily influenced by like pop music, and like the danceability that you find within How Are You Mine is like so goddamn infectious, and there's no way for me to listen to this song and not just like, you know, kind of feel like moving along to the rhythm of it, whether it's like tapping my foot, like moving my hips or my shoulders, or, you know, whatever it might be. Like, there is no way whatsoever for me to shake off that feeling when hearing this song. It just like gets stuck in my head. Like, I think ever since I first heard it around the middle of December, I haven't been able to like not think about How Are You Mine. It just has like that like that stranglehold on my brain and like my listening habits, because it's so easy to listen to. Like, I can be in any mood, whether it be good or bad, listen to How You Mind and feel uplifted. It is like such a soothing and fun and exhilarating and beautiful song, all wrapped into one package. And that package, I think, is going to like really make a lot of like positive waves for Giving Spree when it's out in 2 weeks. And this is like very quickly and effectively become an album that I truly cannot fucking wait to talk about on this show. There are some details available now about the next Landmarks record, and before I get into those, I want to go over the new single. It is called Sulfur. So the album is going to be called The Darkest Place I've Ever Been. It's out April 25th, so still, you know, a bit of time away, but really, I don't care when the album is out. I'm just happy that there is confirmation on a brand new album by Landmarks, because we're already coming up on 4 years since their last full-length release, which was Lost in the Waves in 2021, an album that I, like, could not praise enough on this show. And given how Sulfur sounds, I think that's going to be the continued trend when it comes to what The Darkest Place I've Ever Been is going to be able to do for me. I think Sulfur is the exact kind of song for Landmarks to, you know, like, quote unquote, return with. I think the aggression that it shows is like so patented to their style. Flo is a fucking amazing vocalist, as always, not just in his screams, but also the way that he's able to use his voice to help carry the chorus and make it feel like super atmospheric and larger than life. There's a lot to be really excited for with Landmarks this year, and I really, really want to see them like kind of take the metalcore mantle for themselves this year. And given the quality of a song like Sulfur, I really think they can do it. We were treated to one more single by Vukovi ahead of their new album out in a couple weeks. It is called Snow. In case I've never actually, like, said the album details on the show before, My God Has Got a Gun is dropping on January 24th, so that's another January release for people to, you know, be excited for and look forward to. And I think given how a song like Snow sounds, there's no way for me to, like, be able to, you know, even contain my excitement for this album, because Snow is just this really, like, it's like daunting and ominous in the way that it sounds and its pace. Like, I know Vukovi to be like, you know, a little bit more upbeat than this normally. So having a song like Snow be as slow as it is, I think that's like a really welcome, like, changing of the pace in a way. And it kind of allowed for me to get another glimpse at the kind of versatility that we might be able to expect on My God Has Got a Gun. And the song isn't just brooding for that matter, it's also like quite heavy in the way that it carried itself. I think the outro has a lot of like Sleep Token flares to it, like just in the way that you can hear the drums and the guitar kind of like be a bit more like downtuned and like really kind of paint this like this setting of Armageddon in a way. Like, that's kind of where my mind went to on Snow. And I was like very quickly made a big fan of the song. And I think that's going to be the case also for this album on January 24th. And, you know, I know that I've kind of just been like saying repeated things about these bands of like, oh, I'm looking forward to this and that for 2025. But like, truly, like, a lot of what I heard in December, like, it made me like feel even more confident in the quality and the output and the effort of this year than I already did. And it's because of bands like Vukovi, Landmarks, Sully Sully, Bloodywood, Silent Planet, and Novelist. And then it's also because of like up and coming solo artists such as Miley Taylor and her brand new single Bleed. one of the things that like very quickly drew me to Bleed was the production on it and like the quality, because it's giving like MySpace demo, and just the way that it sounds, the way that Miley's voice kind of mixes in with the instrumentation. And I don't mean that in a bad way whatsoever, because I will always have such a strong affinity for, you know, songs like this that can kind of like take me back in time to, you know, like the MySpace age, and then just having like these bands putting out like demos and shit like that. Bleed gives off like so much of that energy, like very like true to the style of like, you know, 2000s emo, post-hardcore, that kind of stuff. I think Bleed is the exact kind of song that I would want to hear out of that realm. And Miley has the perfect voice to accompany that kind of a style and a sound. I think she comes across as like such a superstar on this song, and I have not been able to get enough of Bleed since first hearing it. And, you know, whatever Miley is going to be, you know, putting out this year for 2025, I will be there no matter what, because Bleed won me over fucking just like that, guys. We're almost through with the episode now. I've got two singles left, the first of which is Can You Feel It by The City Is Ours. So another band with an album out very soon, The City Is Ours, will be dropping Will You Love Me on January 31st through A Rising Empire. This is a band who, like, whenever I've been able to have the chance to talk about them over the last year or so, I've, like, really tried to take advantage of it, because I think The City Is Ours has a sound that really invigorates the desire on my end to have something, like, kind of adjacent to, you know, like anime inspired music. Not that it is directly anime inspired, but a lot of what they do, it feels like I could easily imagine it, you know, being in that kind of a setting. And I think that's part of why I've been able to like really find a home in the discography of The City Is Ours. Like, whether it was In the Dark from last year, Freak Like You from a couple months ago, and then now Can You Feel It, whenever The City Is Ours is like speaking to me, like I am right there listening to them. And I think that's a quality that I should not be taking for granted. I don't think anybody should, whether it's with The City Is Ours or any other band out there. If you like can, you know, identify any part of your outside interest within something in music, you gravitate towards that shit immediately. Like, see, look right there. That's how flustered I am. Like, I can barely speak right now because of just how, again, invigorated I feel by The City Is Ours and this song, and like the kind of waves that it's been able to make in my rotation. The chorus that is just outstanding. The controlled chaos that you get a sense of throughout the entire song and its structure. I think The City Is Ours is a band that I am not going to be able to shut up about this year, especially off of a new album. And if any of you guys have never listened to The City Is Ours before, like, I cannot recommend them enough. The final single that I will be going into for the episode is by With Sails Ahead. It is YER, Your Eternal Ring. So when YER released, there was a tweet made by Sierra, who is the vocalist of the band, kind of going into detail about like what the song is about. And I'm trying to scroll through her Twitter right now to find it, because I want to make sure that I get it right and not like mistranslate it to you guys. So while I'm doing that and scrolling, I want to like also just shout out With Sails Ahead in general, because they were a band that like really, really took me by surprise last year. I loved the album Infinite Void and like everything that it was able to do for me. So much so that it finished 11th in the top 50 records. So, like, I think that should really tell you guys, you know, how high I am on that album and how high I am on this band in general. Because I think With Sails Ahead, like, they really scratched that post-hardcore itch that not too many bands, I think, nowadays can really do it in the way that they're able to do it. And I just have, like, all of this, you know, respect and admiration for what they're doing. I'm literally waffling right now because I'm trying to find this tweet and I fucking can't. So just bear with me. I might cut some of this out. I might not. I really, really don't know. Okay, here it is. Her exact tweet said, "Y'all, if your partner says to you, 'I've blocked you from my Final Fantasy 14, all I'm posting weird shit on there,' that's not normal." And the reason why I really wanted to point that out is because I thought the tweet was, like, quite funny, even though the subject matter itself is not funny because it's a breakup song. Your Eternal Ring is quite heavier than anything on Infinite Void, and I actually, like, really appreciate getting to hear that side of the band, and, you know, kind of an angrier song, a more pissed off song. And Your Eternal Ring, it was, like, this really cool way to kind of cap off the banner year that I believe With Sails Ahead had, and I don't think it's gonna be their final banner year either. Like, I truly do believe in what With Sails Ahead are doing and what they've been able to accomplish, and I really think that, like, whenever I hear their music, I'm listening to a band that is going to be on the rise very soon and making the kind of strides that are going to allow the post-hardcore genre to, like, thrive and succeed off of just the accolades of What Sails Ahead. Like, again, this is a project that I cannot get enough of, and whatever it is that they do in 2025, I will be back on this microphone right here to tell you guys about why it's some of the coolest shit I've ever heard. And that's it. Those were the singles that I kind of collected and stored for this episode throughout December. And, you know, even though we might be a month removed from most of those songs releasing and they might be old news to you guys, I really wanted to give myself the time and the space to talk about them, because, like, I really do love every single song that I talked about today. I love what I think they can do for these bands this coming year, and I thought talking about these songs was going to, like, really set the foundation and the stage of sorts for, like, what I want Ulterior this year to be. And that's just continuing to, you know, try to platform as many bands as I can and tell you guys about what's out there in the alternative scene, what you should be listening to, what there is to look forward to, you know, new albums, new tours, all that other shit. I want this year to, like, kind of go back to those roots and for me to also, like, remain consistent. And again, that's why it was important for me to get this episode out there and talk to you guys about Novelist, Silent Planet, With Sails Ahead, and everybody else that I mentioned today. Thank you guys so much for tapping in and checking out this episode. Please go back and check out any of the year-end things for 2024 if you didn't, such as my, you know, favorite songs of the year, favorite albums of the year, best song of the year, best album of the year, all that good shit. It was covered there for a fucking ridiculous amount of hours, but, you know, it was worth it. It really, really was. And I hope you guys feel the same way. Thank you so much for all of the support throughout 2024 and the continued support in 2025. And I look forward to talking to you guys again very, very soon. Thank you.